वांछितम् ब्रह्मन् श्रेया परिश्रमः पुंसां मद्दर्शनावधि वरं वरय भद्रं ते वरेशं वाभिवांछितम् ब्रह्मन् श्रेया परिश्रमः पुंसामद्दर्शनावधि वरं वरय भद्रं ते वरेशं माभिवांछितम् ब्रह्मन् श्रेया परिश्रमः पुंसामद्दर्शनावधि Varam, benediction. Varaya, just ask from. Bhadram, auspicious. Te, unto you. Varam Isham, the giver of all benedictions. Ma, mom, from me. Abhivanchitam, wishing. Brahman, O Brahma, Shreya, the ultimate success. Parishrama, all the penances, for all the penances. Pumsam, for everyone. Mat, mind. Darshana, realization. Avadhi, up to the limit of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction, as a result of all penances, is to see me by realization. Purport. The ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth is knowing and seeing face to face the personality of Godhead. Realization of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma features of the personality of Godhead is not ultimate realization. When one realizes the Supreme Lord, one does not struggle hard to perform such penances. The next stage of life is to discharge devotional service to the Lord, just to satisfy Him. In other words, one who has realized and seen the Supreme Lord has attained all perfection, because everything is included in that highest perfectional stage. The impersonalists and the pseudo-mystics, however, cannot reach this state. Hare Krishna. So we would like to welcome all the devotees for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you for joining this morning. So in this chapter we see Shukadev Goswami answering the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj as described in the past chapter, last chapter. So initially in this chapter, Shukadev Goswami explains the cause of soul accepting various bodies. And then later on in the prelude, he speaks about the Brahma and Lord Vishnu's conversation, which we recently went through. And then it is mentioned about how Lord Brahma saw the Vaikuntha planets, the various Vaikuntha planets and the beauty and the glory of the Vaikuntha planets that has been explained over there. And then finally, in these verses, Lord is inviting Lord Brahma to ask for any benedictions. So, in today's verse, we see that how the Lord is inviting Brahma and speaking about asking for benedictions. And it is very interesting to see that what exactly the Lord is speaking here. So he is saying that you please ask for benediction. He is giving the order. And while he is saying this, the Lord is indicating to Lord Brahma that the best benediction ever you can ask is to see me face to face. And Lord is standing right in front of him face to face. That means before even asking, the Lord has given him all the benediction. So therefore it is very surprising. The Lord has already given us so many benedictions. It takes some time to realize what he has already given. And is also indicating, of course, Lord Brahma is pure devotee. And because of his austerities, Lord has come in front of him and giving him the beautiful darshan. And he is telling, to ask from me, the best thing is to ask for my darshan, seeing face to face and realizing that I am Supreme Lord. So in other words, the Lord is indicating all we living entities, others, other than Lord Brahma, then what to ask when we go in front of the Lord. Yes, we go in front of the Lord and we ask for this and that and so many other things. But however, the Lord is directly telling us that what one should ask for, that we should ask for service. So here it is said that Brahma saw the Lord face to face, and by realization. So this word is very important. So what is that realization is all about? Let us try to understand. So this is a term in banking actually. Subject to realization, isn't it? What does it indicate? That when a check is sent to for collection, isn't it? So then the issuer bank, after some days, clears the check and the amount is actually then realized. That only when the amount of the check is realized, in the sense that has come to us in the form of their cash or it has included in our account, only then it is said that, okay, he has paid. The payment is done. Because you have realized that money either in your hands or in your account. So therefore, when we give a check to somebody, it is subject to only when it is realized. Only then the check has any value. Otherwise, anybody can give check to anybody writing down millions of dollars. But unless that is realized, so it is in fact considered a great offense. It's a criminal kind of a thing. When you give somebody a check and you are unable to actually pay for that much amount, so it is considered very offensive. And it is also fined later on, one who does that kind of a thing. So here also, the Lord's realization, seeing the Lord is subject to realization. That means what? One has to realize that here is a person, he is not an ordinary person, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing in front of me. And who am I? So I am the servant of the Lord. I am also Spirit, He is the Supreme Spirit. So let me serve Him. Okay, this is the realization one comes to when he actually takes darshan of the Lord. And only then that darshan is called as real darshan. That means he has realized the Supreme Lord, that what he is and what the devotee is supposed to do. Yeah. Often we use this word face to face, isn't it? And here also in Prabhupada, in the purport, is speaking about seeing the Lord face to face. So what does it indicate? That let us say we are meeting somebody. So then we see him face to face. Then there is a pleasantries, exchange of pleasantries, how are you and what are you doing and all of that. And then there is some reciprocation. Okay, then there is no ambiguity, there is no uncertainty in this case when you see somebody and converse and then exchange pleasantries and things like that. Similarly, here when we see the Lord, as in case of Brahma, is actually seeing the Lord face to face. So then what happens? Then he actually understands who is he? He is the Supreme Lord. And Lord also gives him many instructions later on how to create this material world. And he actually creates. He renders service at the end of the conversation. So that means he has realized the Supreme Lord. What is the realization of the Supreme Lord is that yeah, here is a person, he has some wishes to be fulfilled, and let me fulfill his wishes, his desires, because I am his servant. And he is my supreme master, isn't it? So when one understands this fact or realizes this fact, only then he has actually seen the God. Otherwise, as in the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, it is eye massage. Seeing the Lord is what? Eye massage for a beginner. So once, like this, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was giving Bhagavata class. And many devotees are sitting and hearing the class. And some people directly walked in and they directly went in front of the deities and they saw the deities. Seeing for a long time. And at last they also came down and sat in the class. Of course, not so bad. Okay, no problem. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he said, how was your eye massage, by the way? You went and saw the Lord? And did you realize the Lord? Did you see the Lord? How was your eye massage? So that means what? We cannot understand the Lord just by looking at Him. Of course, we should see, because the eyes are meant for seeing the beauty of the Lord. But at the same time, at the end of our darshan, we should render some service. So that is the point. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would always quote this verse. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayameva Sphurattada. He would always quote this verse. Ata Shri Krishna Nama, the name of Krishna, and paraphernalia and pastimes and his personality, everything is not possible to understand really easily. Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai. With these senses, we cannot actually comprehend the personality of Godhead. So then what is the way out? It looks like hopeless, isn't it? No hope. You cannot understand the Lord. But the second portion of the verse is very hope-giving. What is it? Sevan mukehi jivadav. Okay, render some service. And how do we start serving the Lord? Not directly with the hand. First beginning with jivadav. Jiva and adi. That means first beginning with the tongue, we should be able to serve the Lord. Therefore, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram. What does it indicate? Then actually when we go in front of the Lord and chant the holy names, so we are actually glorifying the Lord. At the same time we are begging for the service. What did Prabhupada say? What is the meaning of Mahamantra? Hey all attractive Lord Krishna, hey supremely merciful Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your loving devotional service. That means please give me some service. Here I am standing in front of you. I want to do something for you. Please engage me. Okay. So therefore only when one begs for the service, then the service is given. Okay. Because he has realized here is a person, he needs something, so I am here to fulfill his wishes and desires. Only when one comes to this understanding and realization, that means actually he is doing something in the life of spiritual life, the life of spirituality. So, once it so happened that one devotee was distributing Srila Prabhupada's book very nicely, day in and day out. Every single day he went out to distribute books. And Prabhupada came to know about this, that here is a devotee dedicated to actually please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books every day, single day. And once it so happened, he happened to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wished him, and Prabhupada expressed his happiness because he was actually fulfilling the desire of Srila Prabhupada, which is actually the desire of his spiritual master, isn't it? So, Prabhupada said, okay, please keep on distributing these books. One fine day, you will see Krishna face to face on the roads. Not necessarily on the altar. Necessarily we see the Lord on the altar every single day. Every time we can be in front of the Lord, Lord is there for us to give his darshan. But Prabhupada said, whenever you go out for book distribution, one day, one fine day, you will see Krishna face to face on the road, coming to see you. These are the words, you know, uttered by Srila Prabhupada. That means, seeing face to face means he is already engaged in the service of Krishna by distributing the message of Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita and other books. So therefore, this is a very important point of spiritual life, that how we actually serve the Lord. So therefore, Prabhupada named his book Science of Self-Realization. So it is a science. First, we have to realize the self. We are not these material bodies. We are the spirit soul, we are the spiritual, that which never dies. So when we understand that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, we understand the science of self-realization, then we can understand the science of God-realization. First science of self-realization, and then the science of God-realization. So that means again we realize that the God is a person, and he has a mission. Let me help in his mission. When one comes to this understanding, he is actually doing some tangible advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, it is just a namesake. He is just trying to do something which he may not get full benedictions of the Lord. So, whenever we come in front of the Lord, especially during Sangha, Adarshan and other times, we see that how beautifully the Lord is decorated with colorful and vibrant dresses, elegant, beautiful garlands, and bejeweled jewelries and effulgent jewelries and very colorful fragrant flowers, isn't it? This is how the Lord is actually decorated. And then also we are given some flowers to offer. Okay. That we are supposed to give something. As soon as we see the Lord, we should offer something. Prayer, some kind. Therefore we sing Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I am serving you, my dear Lord. These are the words uttered by Lord Brahma himself in Brahma Samhita. And we also offer some flowers, and some devotees also they bring some fruits and other offerings. And some devotees they want to give to the pujari directly. Then that we have experienced that devotees come, they are waiting when the pujari is free, then they will come, please, please, please offer this to the Lord. And right then and there, pujari purifies the offering, whether it is a flower or anything, and offers it, and devotees are very happy. So that means, there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says that when devotee goes in front of the Lord, decorated with all these beautiful offerings, especially the garlands, when he sees the garland in the neck of the Lord, he sees that, oh, here is a person who has been given this garland. Who has given this garland? Some devotees have given this garland, isn't it? It is so fresh and very fragrant. So that means somebody has just offered it. So that means I also can do something for the Lord. I also can offer something to the Lord. So realizing this, the devotee also starts bringing something in front of the Lord and offers it. So we see every day, every morning, one tall person, you have seen him. Sometimes he's in half pants and he comes and he brings every day some fruits. Early in the morning, 5 o'clock. And he puts it in front of the Lord, and he also puts some Lakshmi in the hundi. And then he is there for some time and he walks. Isn't it? So, a devotee like him, he is making a tremendous spiritual advancement just by understanding the needs of the Lord. Of course, Lord doesn't need anything from us. But it is for our benefit when we give something to the Lord. It is not that Lord is in need of any such. He is Purna, Purnat Purnamudachyate. He is complete in himself. But it is for our benefit then when we offer something and he is pleased. When he is pleased, then our life is perfect. So therefore, this is how a devotee reciprocates with the Lord. Yeah, so Lord reciprocates with different devotees at different levels, isn't it? So, with pure devotees, Lord has a special attraction, relationship. So Lord may actually talk to the pure devotees. He may play flute for their sake. Or he may dance for them. Okay. He may do anything and everything for the sake of pure devotees. So, we neophyte devotees should not expect that why the Lord doesn't do the same thing with us also. So, therefore, it is said that first deserve, then desire. So, we cannot deserve. We cannot just demand that why the Lord is not doing this with me, that with me. No. Do we deserve that kind of a treatment, first of all? Whatever we deserve, Lord is anyway giving it. Isn't it? So for a conditioned soul, the Lord is standing in front of us in a deity form. That itself is a great benediction. So therefore it is said that count your blessings. The Lord has already given so many blessings. We only count those blessings which we are not yet received. Isn't it? So therefore when we go in front of the Lord, there should not be a complaining mood. Okay, why the Lord has not given me this one and that one. So instead, the Lord has, still we can see, we can walk to the temple, everything intact. I mean, just a couple of years ago, so many people died out of COVID, isn't it? So we are still surviving. We also went through that trauma, but still so many people died. So many of our close relatives and friends and devotees have left their bodies. But it is our fortune that we are still alive in this body. So have we ever gone in front of their lordship and thanked them for this? If not, then we should do that. Because now it is high time to understand that how much Lord is still merciful on us. And then accordingly we should be grateful for the Lord. So therefore the Lord can perform such beautiful pastimes with His pure devotees. However, He may do it with anybody and everybody. So it is His prerogative, so we cannot demand. So to the degree we are pure, to that degree only the Lord will reciprocate. Yathamam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamih. So to the degree we reciprocate, so to that degree the Lord also reciprocates with us. So therefore it is also said that we cannot barge into the spiritual world. It is entry by invitation only. Only when you are invited, we can actually enter into the spiritual world, not otherwise. So therefore, even Lord Jesus said that only meek and humble shall inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it? We have heard this. This is a wonderful statement, very profound statement. Only meek and humble shall inherit the kingdom. That is their inheritance. That is their janmasiddhak. That means that is their birthright. What is that? To realize the Lord and to enter into the spiritual world. But who? Only meek and humble. That means one who has understood that he is a humble servant of the Lord and one who is serving the Lord, and he is get that inheritance, not otherwise. So similarly Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also said that first deserve then desire. So there is so much homework to be done. When we do our homework, then we pass our exam, we will get our degrees. We are interested in degrees, certificates and this and that. But have you done our homework? Have you passed your exams? So there is so much to be done from our side. And when we do our responsibilities, fulfill our responsibilities, then the Lord is anyway waiting for us to give His benedictions. As in this case, we see there, hear that how Lord Brahma is giving, He's been giving benedictions. So in contrast to this what we just heard, so there are so many examples in the past in the scriptures. So we see these dushta chatushtayas, the four wicked in Mahabharata. So many people, but at least these four are considered most wicked people. Who are those? Duryodhana, Dushasana and Shakuni, Karana. These are called as dushta chatushtayas, the most wicked four people. See, they all saw Krishna every day on daily basis. So many times they would see Krishna. But did they ever realize who is he? They didn't realize. They were still hell bent upon going against the will of the Lord. They were creating havoc in the lives of his pure devotees, in the lives of Pandavas. Knowing well that how Lord Krishna loved them, gave him so much of his existence, but still these people they would never realize that here is the Lord and we are supposed to serve him and his pure devotees. In fact, he did everything opposite. But they saw the Lord every day. What is the use of such seeing the Lord every day when you don't understand the will of the Lord? So, in fact, Duryodhana says in Mahabharata, it is recorded in Mahabharata, he says that, Janami dharmam nachame pravritti, Janami adharmam nachame nivritti. That means is that I understand what is dharma, I understand what are the religious principles, but I don't have any inclination to practice it. He is openly saying it. Now demons are really, they are actually honest. They speak everything, whatever they speak is truth only. they never lie. Even the, you know, these demons, they also know how to speak the truth only. He is openly speaking it out. I know what is religion, I know what is dharma, but I don't know how to practice. I don't want to practice it. And also understand that what is adharma? What is that I should not do? But still I cannot give that up. I am still attached to irreligious principles. He is openly telling in front of the Lord, Krishna only directly, what to do? I am helpless. So sometimes we also, you know, some people, no, I know, we know what to do. You know, in Marathi they say that, kalatai pan, valat. That means we know what to do, but still we do something which is not supposed to be done. So that means we are also following the footsteps. We should not follow in the footsteps of Duryodhana, but actually we should, with determination and with conviction, we should overcome such kind of problems in spiritual life. So, not only this person, but everyone, whoever fell in that category, they all said the same thing. So whether it is Shishupal, Jarasandha, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, no? They all came in front of the Lord, they saw the Lord so many times, but they never realized, here the person whom I am supposed to be surrendering and rendering some service. Rather, they oppose the Lord, they tried to kill the Lord. All those demons who came to Vrindavan to kill Krishna, although Krishna was a baby, tender little boy, but still these big demons came and they wanted to harm the Lord. They wanted to kill the Lord. But in turn they were killed by the Lord. Of course they attained liberation and all of that, but at the same time, so they saw Krishna, they did everything with Krishna, but still they couldn't realize who the Lord is. So, therefore, preachers, we give this example at times. When a beautiful lady is walking by, three people are looking at her and understanding her in different ways. The cockroach saw the beautiful lady. And what did he realize? I don't know who is this great kind of creature walking in front of me. This is the realization of cockroach. And the tiger saw the lady and he realized, here is my lunch walking by. Very nice, I'll try to devour this lady. And the husband, he's looking at this lady, his wife. Oh, here comes my wife who is going to serve me. So three people are seeing the one person, but everybody has different kind of realizations, isn't it? Similarly, when a person goes in front of the Lord, he sees, you know, different ways, isn't it? So sometimes Gaurang Prabhu said that we should not treat the Lord as if a machine. Sometimes, you know, we are very hungry. So where is the photograph? For what? Offering. Wo photograph ke saamne hum rakhna hai, usko ghanti bajana hai 5 minute ke baad. The photograph or the deity will convert my bhoga into, because I cannot eat bhoga, I cannot eat without offering to the Lord. So therefore let me find out a photograph or a deity. Because I want to eat, I have to eat, I am hungry. Therefore I want Lord now. Because I have been told that I just cannot eat like that. So Lord is not a machine which converts bhoga into prasadam. He is something else, he is more than that. So therefore, we should understand and realize that everything is meant for His pleasure, His satisfaction. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram. So therefore, this is how the devotee understands and walks further in his spiritual life. So therefore, who is a demon? Srila Prabhupada mentions in Isha Upanishad, a person who is causelessly, who has causeless unwillingness to surrender to the will of the Lord. Causeless unwillingness. It is causeless. What is that unwillingness? That no, I am not going to surrender to the wish of the Lord. So that is a demon. And although the Lord is there in front of us with His unsurmountable prowess, unparalleled beauty, and unmatched divine qualities, ocean of good qualities, they all saw this the same Lord, but they couldn't realize and surrender unto Him. So, therefore, all these demons, they saw the Lord, His beauty, His prowess, and His ocean of good qualities, but still they couldn't understand and serve and surrender unto Him. Therefore, Padma Purana states, Dvabhuto Sargo Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evacha. Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Daiva Asurastad Viparyaya. Very simple. There are only two categories of people in this world. There are not more than that. Of course, there are 84 lakhs of species. Out of 4 lakhs human species. Okay. But all these species are categorized only in two categories. What is that? Daiva and Asura. And who is Daiva? Who is the devotee of Lord Vishnu is Daiva. And everybody else is very hard to digest, isn't it? Very hard to digest. All those people who are doing so much charity, this and that, and worshipping demigods and so many things, they are supposed to be called like that. These are the words of the Shastras. They are like absolute. We cannot deny. So, in this way, the Vedic scriptures are very open about it. They speak it out. Otherwise, we will never understand. Isn't it? They are not there to just sympathize with everybody's emotion. They have to tell, just like the law, the doctor, when he diagnoses, actually has to tell that you have this deadly disease, my dear sir, so please treat yourself nice. And he cannot say some good words, okay, no problem, just carry on, just take these medicines, don't worry so much. No, he has to reveal the fact. So the Shastras are there to reveal the fact. So, therefore, especially amongst all these scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very, very clear cut. Amalam Puranam, therefore it is known as Amalam Puranam. Why? Because there is nothing contaminated in it. It is everything is very, very pure. So what is that? That it doesn't spare anybody. Of course, here we are seeing the glories of Lord Brahma. Elsewhere in the 10th canto, we see that Brahma again becomes bewildered. And there is Brahma's own Leela, isn't it? So again, there the Lord Brahma is tested and branded also later on. Similarly, Lord Shiva, whether it is Indra, Chandra, Agni, Vayuvarna, all these demigods, or great sages like Vishwamitra, Shaubhari Muni, even Durvasa Muni, isn't it? So everybody is tested. The Bhagavatam is like a testing stone, you know. So sometimes whenever I have original gold necklace. Okay, bring it. Let us test it. So what this jeweler, they have the testing stone. They rub it on the stone. So it's very hard for that gold, piece of gold, to bear that test. Because it is rubbed against a hard stone. What happens if the gold is original, the pure gold, then actually you can see that particle of the gold coming on the stone. The stone is now shining because of that gold particles. And if the gold is not pure, it is impure, if it is mixed with some other alloys, then what happens? So nothing, you don't see that, you know, sparkling particles of gold on the stone. So Bhagavatam is like that. It is like a testing stone. So everybody is brought in front and everybody is tested, nobody is spared. Everybody has gone through the test. So even Srimati Radharani was tested, isn't it? And so we can understand that how the Bhagavatam is such a wonderful scripture that it gives us that complete analysis. You know, we go in front of doctors and they give us, you know, complete checkup. Please come and do your checkup here. We'll do it for a discounted price. You know, sometimes they offer discounts. So please come and get your health checked up here. Similarly, Bhagavatam is also inviting. Please come and check up your own spiritual health. How far we have gone in the spiritual life. If not, then why not start now? Isn't it? So therefore, this is a scripture where we see that everybody is tested. And so pure devotees, when they go in front of the Lord, what happens with them? We see the example of so many examples. Let us take this one example of Kanakadas, who is a disciple of Vyasatirtha, isn't it? During that time. Because he is supposed to be the incarnation of Yamaraj. The same Yudhura. Yamaraj came as Vidura. Vidura again came in Kali Yuga as Kanakadas, it is said like that. And Purandaradas is also known as the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Like that. Prahlad Maharaj. And also Narad Muni, combination of all of those things. So, this Kanakadas, the great servant of Lord Krishna, it so happened that he took birth in the families of, you know, shepherds. Those who keep these sheep, isn't it? And goats. So, considered as a very low birth. But he was a pure devotee. He had realized the God himself. So, in fact, it is said that once when the other, you know, he used to go to the Gurukula, I mean, the temple of the Lord, and Vyasatirtha, his spiritual master, would give him instructions and everybody would sit and hear the classes, the glories of the Lord. And the so-called Brahmanas, they would, as soon as they would walk in, Kanakadas, they would create havoc. Hey, how come this person is entering into the temple of God? He should be out and all. Vyasatirtha understood their mentality. Holier than thou attitude, you know, holier than, I am better than you. Just because they had taken birth in the Brahman families, they considered themselves as better than this pure devotee. So therefore, they were, you know, always creating troubles in the life of Kanakadas. And enough of this. Enough. So our Vyasatirtha, he understood. Now I think I should teach him good lessons. So he said that, okay, let us do one thing. You please take this today. I'll give you a test. So what is the test? Nothing. You have to take this bananas. I'm going to distribute bananas to everybody. So please take these bananas and then what next? So eat it. But where? He told that you should eat this banana where nobody sees you. Oh, that's it. No problem. I'll take it to my home and here and there I'll close my doors and window, everything, and then I will eat it. Some people even went below the water, you know, in the ponds. They ate their bananas under the water, understanding that nobody is looking at them. Okay. And then everybody next morning came. The banana was also given to our dear Kanakadas. Everybody ate their bananas and they walked in very proudly next time, next morning in the temple. And also Kanakadas came, but he had his banana in his hand. Again these people started laughing. Come on, look at this, you know, fool. He can't even eat his banana. He doesn't even have a space where he can eat banana secretly. What is the use of this person? Then everybody sat and Vyasa, oh, what happened? How, did you eat banana? Oh, yeah, here and there and everywhere I went and ate banana. Nobody saw me, my dear spiritual master. I eat banana secretly. Okay, but what about you, Kanakadas? You didn't eat? She said, no, I couldn't eat. Why? You couldn't find any place there, nobody could see you? Yes, I went to different places, but wherever I went, I saw the Lord standing in front of me. I saw Lord standing in front of me. How could I eat? You said I should eat this banana in a secret place where nobody watches me. But Lord is watching me every time, wherever I go. How will I eat this banana? So therefore I have bought this banana as it is. Banana as it is. We have Bhagavad Gita as it is. Here is banana as it is. Then Vyasatirtha said, look. You people boast so much about yourself. You think you are great learned scholars, having taken birth in Brahmin families. And as if you speak that, as if you are realized the God. See, this is your realization. You don't know even that Lord is, you know, Andantarastam, Parmanu Chayantarastam. He is there every between two atoms. You only read this in scriptures, but have you ever realized this? You know, not even theoretically. Here is a personal realization of this fact. This Kanakdas doesn't know how to eat, where to eat, because everywhere the Lord is existing. And Kanakdas wanted to visit Udupi, where Madhvacharya has installed Krishna deity, beautiful deity. We all have gone there and seen the Lord. The Lord wanted to visit that place and actually take darshan, just like anybody wants to take darshan of the Lord. And again, people, the priests, and they opposed. Right? How can you walk inside? You're lowborn. How can you come inside the temple of the Lord? Again, he was stopped. And then his heart, you know, pierced. What else he could do? He came behind the temple of the Lord. There is a place where he stood. There is a deity also. Nowadays there is a deity of Kanakda. They have established in Udupi. And actually he couldn't go from the front door. He went to the back side of the temple. And he sang a song. The song is something like this. That my dear Lord, he sang in Kannada, beautiful Kannada language. ಬಾಗಿಲನ್ನು ತೆರೆದು ಸೇವೆಯನ್ನು ಕೊಡುವರಿಗೆ ಪೂಜಿಸಿದರೆ ಕೂಗಿದರೆ ಧ್ವನಿ ಕೇಳಲಿಲ್ಲವೇ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಟೆಂಪಲ್. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಶೌಟಿಂಗ್, ಸೊ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಓಪನ್ ದ ಡೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ಮಿ ಸಮ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. He is not saying that, please give me darshan, 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 dere bhagavanta. Not that kind of a stuff. Give me some service. So open the door. These people, I have closed the door. I cannot walk inside. So you open the door. And you give me some service. And I am shouting on the top of my lungs, can't you hear? He is asking a question to the Lord. Of course, Lord heard it. So therefore, what happened? Actually broke open. Therefore, there is a window through which the small deity of Lord Krishna gave darshan to Kanakdas. And actually, the Lord is facing the front door, isn't it? Just like the front door, the Lord is facing the front door. So we all come inside and take darshan of the Lord. But he was not allowed from the front door, therefore he went to the back door. There is no back door, there was nothing like that. There is only, just like, you know, there is no back door. Only one door. But because he was standing and praying for the Lord, what happened? The Lord actually turned 360 degree. Or 180 degree rather. 180 degree. And the Lord is pleased to see him. He is willing to turn 180 degree to give darshan to the Lord. And for him there is no bar, for him there is no obstruction. Actually, he broke open that window, I mean that wall, and he gave darshan. There is also, it is called as the window of Kanakadas. From now, whenever we take darshan through that window that Lord gave darshan to Kanakadas. Isn't it? The Lord has made it so clear for all the time to come that if you want to take darshan of the Lord, you have to take darshan from behind. from that window through which I gave darshan to my pure devotee Kanakadas. Because he has realized the God. So therefore he is asking for the service. So that means Karishya Vachananta. Again, Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what did Arjuna say? Arjuna, he said, Karishya Vachananta, I will do, I will surrender unto you now, my dear Lord, I will fulfill your desire. Initially he was not. Initially he had so many questions, so many doubts. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And then he also did not force him. My dear Arjun, I have spoken Bhagavad Gita to you, now you better you hear and follow me. He never forced him. Now you realize, now you actually contemplate, think about it, and if you understand it is worthy, then you follow it. It's siddhi tathakura. Whatever you understand, whatever you want to do, you please go ahead. Lord never forced him. And it is the beauty of Arjuna that he surrendered and he said Karishya Vachananta. The Lord never forces, but the devotee comes forward and he accepts the will of the Lord. That is how the relationship between the Lord and pure devotees. He accepted and then he fought the war. And he won the glory. Isn't it? So, thus, So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the transcendentalists, other kinds of transcendentalists that are impersonalists and pseudo-mystics. These two categories of people, they try to also realize God. But they hardly realize God. So yesterday was the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, isn't it? At the end of the offering, we all enjoyed great menu, feast, isn't it? So whoever was here yesterday, we all enjoyed that feast, isn't it? Very nice. So thanks to the kitchen team who actually cooked an elaborate menu, sumptuous feast, and all devotees were very happy. So can you just imagine that a plate of feast is given to a person and he said, I'll only look at it. I'm happy. Looking at it. Have you ever seen a person who only looks at the plate of prasadam and he is satisfied? Of course, Lord does it for him. He doesn't have to eat, chew and eat. He accepts our bhoga looking at it. But we have to eat it. Only then we will be satisfied. Okay, so impersonalists are just like, you know, looking at the plate and still saying that, no, I am full now because I saw the plate of prasadam. It is not possible. And one step ahead, the pseudo-mystics, what do they say? No, I am seeing it but also smelling the fragrance of the feast. Is it sufficient? Will you be ever satisfied just by looking at it or smelling it? But the devotees know how to actually take care of the prasadam plate. We sit in front of it and we completely devour it, we will finish it off. We understand how to actually reciprocate with the Lord in the form of prasadam. Because we understand here is the Lord, we eat. So that is how simple bhakti yoga is. This example is from Srimad Bhagavatam only. Wherein the comparison of all the three kinds of yogis, bhakti yogis and jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis. Jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis, they are just trying to look at the feast and still imagine that they are actually realizing it. They are actually relishing it. How will we realize the feast? When we honor it, glorifying the Lord, and when we digest it, and then we advance spiritually. Okay, eating is not simply, you know, nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our entire existence. So when we actually nourish our entire existence by eating prasadam, that means we have realized prasadam. otherwise you have eaten only. So actually we also have to realize prasadam in the sense when we eat it, we understand that here is a great annamrita pava radha krishna gunagam, isn't it? So krishna badadayama is greatly merciful. Karibara jivaja. So in order to, you know, win over this, you know, this great tongue, which is otherwise very difficult to win over. So prasadanna diloba. He has given his own anna prasad. So when we eat it, we'll get all the nutrients and we'll become healthy by eating. We'll get all the nourishment for the body and then mind and intelligence and to the soul also. When we actually eat prasadam and advance spiritually, that means we have actually realized even the prasadam. Otherwise not. So therefore, these mystics and impersonalists, they also want to try to realize God, but they are far, far away from realizing the God. And in order to actually walk on their path, they do all kinds of austerities. We see that how difficult it is to actually practice this Ashtanga Yoga. Now recently there was, you know, Yoga Day celebration. June 21st, what is it? 20? Of June, no? Okay, something like that. Whatever the date. Then all people, they started, you know, opening their yoga mats and doing all kinds of yoga exercises. Okay, that's good, not a problem. But that is not necessarily yoga. Yoga means what? To connect with God, isn't it? We understand from Bhagavad Gita, yoga is to connect with the Supreme. How do we connect with the Supreme? By three ways or four ways. By Jnana Yoga, by Ashtanga Yoga, and then by Bhakti Yoga, and then by Karma Yoga, that is anyway, lowest one. So all these methods are there to connect with God. So bodily exercises and some gymnastics or some doing some yogasanas cannot be called as yoga. At the most it is gymnastics or bodily exercise. It cannot be called as yoga. Yoga means to actually render some service to God. Do something for the pleasure of the Lord. That is called as yoga. And these yogis and impersonalists, they do so much of hard work trying to actually walk on their path of self-realization, but they find it very, very difficult. In fact, it is said that 51st chapter of 10th canto, it is said that minds of non-devotees, these mystics and impersonalists and other people, they do a lot of, you know, hard exercises, pranayama and this study of all the scriptures and so much of hard work. But at the end of the day, again their minds are agitated. Despite doing so much of austerities and hard study of all the Vedic scriptures, but still they are unable to curb their mind. Still it is running here, there and everywhere. And how can one concentrate on the God if mind is uncontrolled? That's the first basic lesson of the spiritualist, one who learns how to control the mind. They are spending, you know, so many years hard core austerities, but still they are unable to actually cope up with their mind and do something about their mind control. So what is the use of such thing? So therefore, on the other side, the devotees walking on the path of bhakti yoga, so they actually walk without any difficulty in the association of devotees. They come, they chant, they eat prasadam, they dance, and then they realize God. So isn't it such a simple and straightforward and beautiful way to realize God? But it takes time to understand this. So therefore, Prabhupada used to say, we will wheat our way back to Godhead. When these people are doing all gymnastic, we will simply eat Mahaprasad and realize God and go back to Godhead. So that is how the process is simple. Therefore Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. Otherwise it is complex. The process itself is simple, But if one has a complex mindset, then he will find it complex. However, it is very, very simple. So, this is easily possible. Again, it is said in 7th canto, Sarvam chaitat guru bhaktya purusho hi anjasa chait. That means, although for even a bhakti yogi, he finds also so many challenges on the path of bhakti yoga, controlling mind and senses, but it becomes much, much easier when we understand that here is my spiritual master, let me just follow in his footsteps and just follow his orders. Just by doing that, when the spiritual master is pleased, then naturally the Lord is pleased, and then we can actually realize God, and then we can make our lives perfect. I would like to end this at this point. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya, Śrīmad Bhāgavat Mahāpurāṇa ki jaya, Nitāya Gaur Premānande. Of course, today is also the Gundicha Maharaja, we could hardly touch the subject matter because there was hardly any time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.